One thing that I'd like to mention is maybe Harold forgot to make the announcement just now. It's about Pamela. Some of you know Pamela Chow. So she's gone to be with the Lord. So I really miss her a lot. I cherish the moment, you know, it's a privilege to spend some time with her. So I'm going to pray for her family. Let's just start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I give thanks for your grace to us, and we want to give honor and glory to you. You are the worthy one. Thank you for giving us hope and for saving us. We come to pray for those who are sick, who need job, who has many needs in their life, that we pray, Heavenly Father, we do not know how, but you know how. We just pray and ask for your grace be with them, your peace be with them. We think of Pamela. We just pray that, Heavenly Father, that the peace and your comfort be with the family. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. So I was thinking about what I should share this morning. Then I read, during Christmas, I usually like to read about the Christmas story. And one of the story in Christmas is about Mary. And there's some words in the story of Mary give me some thought in my mind that I'd like to share with you. But before that, I'm going to share the title that I put in is "For with God, nothing will be impossible." I know it's a new year, 2024. We have many needs, and as in our prayer meeting, we've been praying for all the needs. But know that God is possible. So we're going to look at first Hebrews. Let's turn to the books of Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The books of Hebrews chapter 11. You probably know this chapter quite well. It's about faith. Now, as I mentioned, we know that for with God, nothing will be impossible. Do you believe it? Do you have faith that God is possible? But how about when you were in trials, a long trials, you haven't seen the light yet? Do you still have the faith that nothing will be impossible with God? Now, let's look at the definitions of faith in chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, something hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, you have not seen it, but you believe it. It's the evidence. So, it's not like easily you can see it. Otherwise, you do not require any faith. If you can see 100%, then there's no need of faith because it's already happened. You know that it's going to happen, but for 100%. In verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And we know that in the remaining verses, it talks about those elders, those saints in the past that have a good testimony of faith. In verse 3, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So there are many things that we do not able to see it, but we believe it. Our trust is in the Lord. And verse 6 is what I'd like you to look at. This is something that a lot of us memorize. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's also true that we say that nothing is impossible with God. And it's written here that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And this, why do I refer here? And I look at the testimony of Mary. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Gospel of Luke chapter 1, 26. This might be some, you know, this part of the scriptures you're probably quite familiar with, and you just read it last week or the weeks before. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." So this is something that the angel Gabriel told Mary. Is it hard to believe for Mary that it says that he will, by the Holy Spirit, he will bore a son in his womb, in her womb, bring forth a son and call his name Jesus? And let's look at, turn to the verse. Now before that, what is Mary say in 34? Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" We know that it is signs, or that we know with the wisdoms of man, it is impossible to have a son. So Mary asked these questions, and then we'll see what the angel Gabriel answered in 37. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I was amazed when I look at a red response of Mary. And she said that, "Wow, let it be me according to your word." And we just read Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Mary trusts. He trusts what the angels say, what God say. It is possible, because what God say is the truth. And there's another contrast, as we know, in the Christmas story. That is Zechariah. If you turn to chapter 1, Luke, Zechariah, chapter 1, And verse 5, you can see the context. And it talks about Zacharias and his wife, Elizabeth. In verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. But in verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. And we know that next, while Zacharias was serving in the temple, something happened. In verse 13, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And let's see what is Zechariah's response. In verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you this great tidings." And verse 20, "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." The thing about in the case of Zacharias is that something happened in the past before, in the scriptures mentioned about someone who is old, well advanced in age, and still have a child. The answer is yes. Well, and he used the same word. Nothing is impossible with God. If you turn to Genesis, and we know that in the story of Abraham and Sarah, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 2. And to give you the context, you know that God has promised Abraham and Sarah there will be a child through the womb of Sarah, and there was a long waiting time since that promise, and they couldn't wait. And we know that Abraham had a son through Hagar, but then this is God still remember his promise. So, and let's go to, for the sake of time, I'm going to turn to verse 13. And Genesis chapter 18, verse 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?'" And in Romans, we read that Abraham was 100 years old. Can 100 years old still bear a child? And what is the response? 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" It's the same verse we just read. Nothing is impossible with God. And at that appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. So this is happened in the past for Zacharias. He has a reference. Now, and then we ask myself and ask yourself. Now, sometimes it's easy to say that, I would have, this Mary, or when you put yourself into that, when you look at other people, it seems to be, easy to have faith, or easy to judge, like why this Zacharias do not have faith. But when we really put our shoes into their situations, when you went through trials, it may not be, as easy as it is. seems to be. And we may experience the challenge of faith. We could have that. And there's another story that tells us this. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 32, Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 32. This is a story about Jeremiah buys a field. Well, at the time, I would say that it's not a very good time to buy a field. Now, we're going to give you some background by reading the verse 1 in chapter 32 of Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. We know that Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. Now, do you remember Zedekiah, the king of Judah? Second Chronicle tells us that he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And also we know that at that point, Judah is going to fall into Babylon, all right, at this time. And what happened then? It says that, for then the king of Babylon's army, and they were in danger, besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. So Jeremiah was in the prison put by the king Zedekiah, and at that time Judah of Jerusalem is in danger, is surrounded by those soldiers of Babylon. They're in danger. So why? Now, verse 3 tells us why Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah, you read about, you know, all the what he has done, all his life he devoted to tell as a prophet, to kind of like preaching the gospel, tell the people to repent, go back to God, and not to worship those idols of false gods. And yet, no one listened to him. And that's why he's a weeping prophet. Jeremiah cries for those people who did not. Their heart was hardened, and kind of similar to the world right now we are living. And many do not believe. And what happened in verse 3, it says, for Zedekiah, king of Judah, has shut him up, saying, why do you prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. Of course, the king Zedekiah would not be happy to see that. He would not be happy to hear that. He liked to hear that, oh, you are going to win. But what happened? Jeremiah said what the Lord has told him, that God has decided to put this country into the hand of Babylonians. And verse 4, Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely deliver into the hand of king of Babylon, shall speak with him face to face and see eye to eye. And that is the prophecy that Jeremiah say, foretold, and we know we will continue, it happened. But what I want to bring your attention is something interesting. At this background, at this, you know, situation, and something interesting happened in verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanamel the son of Shalom, your uncle, will come to you, saying, buy my field which is in Anatot, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Now think about that. Would you buy a land at this point of time? Because the enemy is going to come and conquer the country. How are you going to possess the land if you're going to buy it right now? It's not a good timing. Think about Let's say a property in a place that you see the flood is coming, water has approaching this land, and someone say, I'd like to sell this house. Do you think it's wise to buy a property like this at that time? Another situation I thought of is actually happened in, I went to visit my uncle in Singapore this year, summer, and they rented a place, and then we found out something happened. From morning to afternoon, you barely can live in that house. Why? Because next door, they are having a big, major renovation. They have to demolish almost the whole house. You can hear the banging sound, like they had to wear earplugs. But when I asked my uncle, do you know that before you rented this place? They said, no, we completely have no idea. We know it, we won't. So that was situations that Jeremiah was in right now. To buy a land at this point of time? And what is the response? Let's see, in verse 8. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anatot, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours and the redemption's yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Now, do you see that? Though this is according to the human wisdom, to the best economists, the best expert in property, they will say, no, this is not the right timing to purchase. But Jeremiah has revelation from the Lord. Then, what do you think his response? He will follow, and he knows that this is from the Lord. And in verse 9, so I bought a few from him, Hanamel, the son of uncle who was in Anatot, and weighed out of him the money, 70 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witness and weighed the money on the scale. And that was, you know, his response. But do you think that he is like 100% sure that this is the right thing to do? Jeremiah is a human, just like us. We know that this is the views of God, but sometimes we may still have like doubts in ourselves. And how should we respond to those doubts? If God says this is the way you should go, trust me, have faith in me, but what is, you have some voices, some noises out there that tell you you may not have peace in your heart. And what should you do? That's a lesson for us to learn in these scriptures here. I'd like to share with you my own testimony. I know that many of our brothers and sisters are looking for a job. I experienced the same thing before. I remember about how many years? Maybe 14 years ago, I came to Vancouver. And then a few years later, I know I pray for God's direction. Should I stay in Vancouver? Should I go to other places? And God revealed to me that I should stay here. So we know it for sure, my wife and I. But then I lost my job. At the time when I lost my job, I got an offer in Australia, way higher salary than what I got right here. And best thing is, close to home, Malaysia. Just a few hours, I can arrive in Malaysia. Here, you need about close to 24 hours, including transit time. And in Malaysia, our parents do not have any pension systems, no healthcare. In those countries, both our parents' pensions and healthcare depends on children. So we have the responsibility. So financial will be something very important for us to take care of them. When I lost my job, I suddenly say that, shouldn't I take the offer in Australia? It's way better than sitting here and waiting a new job. I need not to feed myself, but my parents too. And it was 8 months waiting. It was not easy. Do you think like it's easy for me? I have 100% trust in God and without any doubts in the 8 months waiting period? I'll say no. I cry, just like Jeremiah. I doubted, is this the right path for me to go? Then I waited here for the job to come to me. I sent 100 over resumes. At that time, 8 months period, I remember on EI, employment insurance. And what is the response of Jeremiah? Let's look at it. In time like this, let's look at verse 16. Now, when I had delivered the purchase deed to Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, Oh, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Do you see the same verses? Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible with God. And the next, and this is a prayer. You can see that you show by Jeremiah, you show loving kindness to thousands and repair the iniquity of the fathers into the bosoms of their children. After then, the great, the mighty God whose name is in the Lord of hosts. You are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, to this day and in Israel among other men, and you have made yourself a name as it is this day. You have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror. You have given them this land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and took possession of it, but they have not obeyed your voice or walked in your laws. What did Jeremiah say? He is thinking the attributes of God. At time when you have doubts, and one thing we need to remember, He is our Lord. He may not necessarily follow what you say, or the timing may not be according to what you think. It's according to His timing. And Jeremiah, at this point, it was not easy for Jeremiah, because from all the human wisdoms, the logical thinking is not the right time to buy the land. So what, in time of unrest, Jeremiah went to prayer. And remember the attributes of God. Remember what the God has done in the past. Think about the answered prayers. Think about all the attributes of God. Think about the words of God, what He has done. And that's what Jeremiah did. It's a lesson for all of us in time like this. And we continue to read. And we know that the next verses, it says about the Israelite, the Jews, that they do not believe. And in verse 24, look, the siege mourns. They have come to the city to take it. Now he's in danger right now, the whole city of Jerusalem. And the city has been given into the hand of Chaldeans, who fight against it because of the sword and famine and pestilence. what you have spoken has happened. There you see it. In verse 25, and you have said to me, O Lord God, buy the field for money and take witness. Yet the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Can you see that his worries at the end, at the verse 25? Because he has some unrest, is battle with that mind to buy a piece of property at this point of time. But also remember the attributes of God. But God, our God, is an answering God. And in verse 26, what do we see? Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Do you see that? You can see the God is responding to all your prayer. He hear you. He like to hear you. You can present all your concern, all your burden to him. Don't just worry and worry and worry doing nothing. Read his words. Pray to him. Remember his attributes, just like Jeremiah. And verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Do you see how God responded to Jeremiah? He quoted exactly the same word that Jeremiah said. That was in 17. There is nothing too hard for you. God assured Jeremiah, there is nothing too hard for me. And of course, because our time is almost up, we don't have time to read the rest, but I want you to read verse 44. This is what the assurance of God. Good man will buy fields for money, sign these and seal them, and take witness in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, and the cities of the south. For, what did God say? I will cause their captives to return, say the Lord. God told Jeremiah, you will still return and possess this land according to his timing, not according to our own timing, not according to our own thought. And we also think about the verses here that we know that in the Bible, the birth at old age is difficult, but with God, nothing is impossible. Above by Holy Spirit, it's also may be difficult for human to understand, but it's not impossible with God. And the third birth I'd like to talk about, we didn't have time to look at it today, is to be born again, your spiritual birth. And as the story we read, could you do it by yourself? No. The scripture tells us very clearly, by faith. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. And in Ephesians, when you put that trust, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the story we read, do you see that? That when they possessed the land, they were sealed. And God promised, I will return. And as the promise we read just now, they will return to this promised land. God's word is faithful. He is faithful yesterday, today, and forever. So in time when you have doubts, Remember, do not stop there and do nothing. Read his words. Pray to him. Talk to him. Remember his attributes. He will not leave you alone. His promise is yea and amen. And surely we will return to the promised land. We'll return to him. We'll just close with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Give thanks for the example of Jeremiah. We acknowledge that we are weak, just like the prayer by Jeremiah. But Heavenly Father, you are faithful God. Again and again, we look at what you did in the past. We can trust you. We pray, Heavenly Father, especially for those people who are in trials or waiting. We pray, Heavenly Father, you would comfort them and help them, give them grace and peace. We ask this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for your time.